This is Kim Myeongja from Daegu, Korea, and you are listening to Everybody ESL.
Welcome to episode 36 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and today I have another full-length episode for you. The Everybody ESL podcast can be found in the Apple iTunes Store and on the Stitcher app. If you like the podcast, subscribe to it and leave it a good review. And don't forget, if you have any questions about English or anything that we have talked about in any episode of the podcast, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Okay, let's get on with this episode. I think this episode's vocabulary theme is pretty appropriate. The theme is cold weather vocabulary. I know a lot of you out there are experiencing very cold weather, very low temperatures. It sounds like it's a difficult winter. Here in Seattle, things are pretty mild. It's usually pretty pleasant here over the winter. Our first cold weather word is frozen. F-R-O-Z-E-N, frozen. Frozen means in solid form. If you talk about frozen water, you mean water that is so cold that it has become solid. And we use frozen also to mean very cold. So if you go outside in very cold weather, when you come back in, you might feel like your fingers and toes are frozen or frozen solid. And that's similar to the next word, which is frostbite. F-R-O-S-T-B-I-T-E. Frostbite is the damage that can occur to your skin if it is exposed too long to very cold air. You can suffer from frostbite, and your skin actually becomes damaged. It's like the frost or the ice, or the cold temperature, bites your skin. Frostbite. The next word is scraper. S-C-R-A-P-E-R. A scraper, also called an ice scraper, is that little device, that little tool that you use to scrape the ice off of your car's windshield. You know what I'm talking about, that little plastic wedge. And you use it to remove ice from your windshield. Speaking of windshields, that brings us to our next word, which is defrost. D-E-F-R-O-S-T. We often use the word defrost when we're talking about our car's windshield. When the windshield is all cloudy with condensation or with frost, you can't see through it, you need to turn your car's heater onto the defrost setting so that warm air will be directed toward your windshield and your windshield will be clear and you can see through it so you can drive off and go where you need to go. How about this word, wind chill? W-I-N-D-C-H-I-L-L. Now, I pronounced it in a very careful way there, wind chill. We don't usually say it like that. We usually pronounce it like wind chill. We don't really pronounce the D, wind chill. The wind chill is a measure or an estimate of how cold it feels when the air is cold and the wind is blowing. So maybe the thermometer says it is 30 degrees outside, but there's a pretty strong wind blowing. So it might feel like it's 22 degrees. That's the wind chill. Often in the weather report on the news or in the newspaper, they will refer to the wind chill, how cold it feels, as opposed to what the thermometer says the temperature is. The next word is frigid, F-R-I-G-I-D. Frigid means very cold. That's a simple one. Now, I like this next one, long johns, L-O-N-G-J-O-H-N-S. Do you know what long johns are? Have you ever worn long johns? Long johns are long underwear. Long underwear is underwear that is specially made for cold weather. Sometimes it's called thermal underwear. Thermal, T-H-E-R-M-A-L, has to do with heat or with staying warm. So when it's very cold, sometimes people wear special winter underwear, and sometimes we call that long johns. Now notice, that's always in the plural, just like pants is always in the plural, long johns. And the last word in our cold weather vocabulary is icicle, I-C-I-C-L-E. An icicle is the long, pointy thing that develops when water melts and then freezes. You might see an icicle above someone's door or hanging from the branches of a tree when it's very cold. Be careful of icicles because they can be big and heavy and sharp, and they can hurt you if they fall on you. So don't let that happen. All right, well, that's the end of our cold weather vocabulary. This episode's grammar lesson is actually part 3 of our series on the word wood, W-O-U-L-D, one of the most complicated words in all of English. Just to remind you, part 1 of the series was about the hypotheticals and conditionals. These were sentences like, if she didn't want to join us, she would have let us know. Or, if the weather warmed up a little, everyone would be happy. Part 2 of the series was about the past tense of will. These were sentences like, the boy's grandparents thought he would enjoy the movie. You can go back to previous episodes and give those a listen if you want a reminder about what those were like, or if you want to hear them for the first time. Well, in this episode, we have part 3. Now, part 3 is what I like to call the historical habitual. That sounds pretty complicated. Well, this is for past actions that were habitual, past actions that were habits, things that were often done or things that were usually done. I'll give you an example, and I think it will become clear. When I was a kid, I would ride my bike all around my neighborhood. When I was a kid, I would ride my bike all around my neighborhood. What does this mean? It means that when I was a kid, it was my habit or my routine to ride my bike around my neighborhood. This is something that I did usually or regularly or often. Here's another example. Every time the dog barked, the little child would get scared. Every time the dog barked, the little child would get scared. Here again, just like the bike riding sentence, would is telling us that this behavior was a pattern or a habit. It's what usually happened. Every time the dog barked, it was the little child's habit or pattern or routine to become scared. Every time the dog barked, the little child would get scared. Well, that's the end of part 3 of this series, and we still have one part to go. So on our next full-length episode, we will wrap up this exciting series about wood, one of the most complicated words in all of English. This episode's small talk topic or social situation is one that I am sure you have encountered. Everybody who is learning a foreign language has been through this situation. and it is this. Somebody has said something to you, and you did not understand it. It was just too fast. Or maybe it used some strange grammar. Or maybe the vocabulary was unfamiliar to you. This happens all the time. I think this probably happens over and over and over every day to everybody who is learning a foreign language. And so I assume it has happened to you many times. But what do you do? What's the correct way to respond, or what's a good way to respond? Well, all you need to do is say to the person, "I'm sorry, could you repeat that, please? I'm sorry, could you repeat that?" Or if you want to give a little explanation, you can say, "I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand that. Could you repeat it, please? I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand you. Could you repeat that, please?" And that's a completely reasonable request and a very friendly request. And I think everybody who hears that request will say, "Oh, of course, I'm sorry." And they will try again, maybe speak more slowly or change the words or the grammar that they use. You can also ask, "Could you say that a little bit more slowly, please?" All of these are perfectly reasonable requests. And I think if you make those requests, the person you're speaking with will change the way they are making their statement or change the way they are asking a question to make it a little bit easier for you to understand. And if they try and you still don't understand, that's okay. You can just be honest about it and say, "I'm sorry, I still don't understand." And everything will work out fine. They will either find a different way to say it, or they will move on to a new topic, and you don't need to worry about it. If you don't understand everything, that's fine. And if that's too frustrating, or if the situation is very important, you could always ask them to write down what they want to say or ask you. And it might be easier for you to understand the written form than the spoken form. And if you want to ask someone to do that, all you need to ask is, "Could you please write that down?" And again, if you want to give a little explanation, you could say, "Could you please write that down? I think it will be easier for me to understand if you write it." And no matter what happens, don't feel bad about not understanding everything in English. That's completely fine. And now it's time for the joke of the week. I'm so excited because I know that this is everybody's most favorite part of the podcast, except probably it really isn't everybody's favorite part. The jokes are often not very funny, but they do usually give us something interesting to talk about when it comes to English. Now, today's joke is an old joke. It is a classic joke. I probably first heard this joke, 45 years ago. It has been around much longer than I've been around, and I've been around for a little while. The joke goes like this. What has four wheels and flies? What has four wheels and flies? Do you have any guess? Well, it's not a car. It's not an airplane. What has four wheels and flies? Well, the answer is a garbage truck. A garbage truck has four wheels and flies. What? A garbage truck flies? A garbage truck has four wheels and flies. Well, here's why this is a joke. Here's why this joke has been around for so many years and why everybody loves it so much. It's because we can interpret the question in two different ways. Now, I think the way most of us interpret the question when we first hear it is, what has four wheels and what also flies? What has four wheels and what can fly? And when we ask the question that way, it's very puzzling. Wait a minute, what has four wheels and also can fly? I can't think of anything. But that question can be interpreted in a second way. It can also mean, what has four wheels and also has flies? What has four wheels and also has flies around it, has a bunch of insects flying around it. The insects called flies. What has four wheels and also has flies buzzing all around? Well, if we think about it that way, then the answer, a garbage truck, kind of makes sense. A garbage truck has four wheels, and it also has a bunch of flies buzzing around the garbage it's carrying. So what has four wheels and flies? A garbage truck. And now maybe this is your new favorite joke. Maybe? This is the part of the podcast where I used to give a listening quiz. And then, on the last full-length episode of the podcast, this is the part where I gave a vocabulary quiz. And now, today, I want to give a different kind of quiz. I want to give you a spelling quiz. Now, as I am sure you have already learned, spelling in English is impossible. It makes no sense at all. It is very, very difficult. So if you sometimes have trouble spelling English words correctly, I completely understand. It is just a very hard thing. It takes a lot of practice. Well, let's have a little quiz. I've got 10 words for you, and let's see how many of them you can spell correctly. Number one, always. Always. Number two, neighbor. Neighbor. Number three, Wednesday. Wednesday. Number four, vacuum. Vacuum. Number five, weird. Weird. Number six, recommend. Recommend. Number seven, rhyme. Rhyme. Number eight, calendar. Calendar. Number nine, separate. Separate. That's how you pronounce this word when it's an adjective, but when it's a verb, you say separate. Separate. Now, they're spelled the same way, but two different pronunciations. Separate and separate. And number 10, genius. Genius. Okay, are you ready for the answers? Let's see how you do with this first spelling quiz. Here are the answers. Number one, always is A-L-W-A-Y-S. Number two, neighbor, N-E-I-G-H-B-O-R. Number three, Wednesday, capital W-E-D-N-E-S-D-A-Y. That's right, it's spelled Wednesday. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Number four, vacuum. V-A-C-U-U-M. Number five, weird. W-E-I-R-D. Number six, recommend. R-E-C-O-M-M-E-N-D. Number seven, rhyme. R-H-Y-M-E. Number eight, calendar, C-A-L-E-N-D-A-R. Number nine, separate, or separate, S-E-P-A-R-A-T-E. Here's how I learned to spell that one correctly. There's a rat in separate, so you can find the word rat, R-A-T, inside separate, or separate. And number 10, genius, G-E-N-I-U-S. Okay, how many of those did you spell correctly? And that's the end of episode 36 of Everybody ESL. If you have any questions or suggestions about future episodes, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with another episode, and until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.